Welcome to another episode of the Phoenix Rising Podcast. I am your host, Lisa Hillier, and today I have Calais Floden on the show with me, and I came across Calais' YouTube channel just a little while ago, and Calais is from Sweden, and immediately I think of Northern Lights when I think of Sweden. And the whole essence of his YouTube channel fits just that. The Northern Lights, a beautiful cabin in the forest, snow, all that kind of magic that I have been dreaming about for so many years. And so Calais left the city to live a more meaningful life in the northern parts of Sweden. And he shares all that he's learned and how he lives with his beautiful girlfriend Christina on his YouTube channel, and it is so beautiful and soothing. And I think as we're living in the world during this time, maybe it's just me, maybe it's a lot of people, I'm not sure, but there's a part of us that yearns for a simpler life that is much more connected to nature and to the seasons, to our true nature is what it feels like for me. And so these creators that are showing their lives through different platforms like YouTube offers a different way of being, and it's so inspiring and captivates something deep within our bones. And so I loved this conversation with Calais. Please check out his YouTube channel, his new YouTube channel. It sounds so magical what he is doing with that. So definitely check it out, Pines and Creeks, and all the links are in the show notes. And if you feel called to support the podcast, please check out the Fat Skin link. I am an affiliate for Fat Skin. The link is in the show notes. I absolutely love tallow, especially for my skin. I render my own at this time, and yeah, it's just so satisfying taking a whole food and making it into what it is that you desire. And so Fat Skin is amazing, so, so amazing for your skin. It's tallow, it's locally owned close to where I live, and I just highly recommend their product. And if you feel, you know, inspired, maybe making your own, rendering your own tallow, but for skincare, definitely check out Fat Skin. The link is in the show notes. And now let's dive in with Calais and be inspired by simple living. Okay, welcome to the podcast, Calais. You are in Sweden, and I think what drew me to you when I found your YouTube channel was your accent, and I just saw Northern Lights. I literally just saw. And I grew up in really far northern Canada where we used to have Northern Lights. We did have Northern Lights all the time, but I don't live there anymore. Okay. So that was what really drew me to you and your channel. So let's start with what brought you to living in a cabin in the forest in Sweden and starting a YouTube channel.
Yeah. Hi, first of all. Mm-hmm. What started everything was actually, like most things, a crisis. I usually say that you should start by embracing your crisis, because that's where the most development happens in life. So for me, that was a big crisis, leaving a past relationship. I was living in the city still, and living in an apartment, doing the typical 9-to-5, working in a store, selling stuff I didn't really believe in, and I just didn't like my everyday life. And that breakup really got me to kind of, acted as a wake-up call, I guess. Mm-hmm. And got me to starting looking around, and was starting to get a bit curious for the first time in a long time. You know, you get so used to being in that kind of hamster wheel that you just keep spinning it. And sometimes you need someone to literally almost hit you in the face to wake up a bit.
I love that, embracing your crisis. Did you embrace your crisis in the beginning?
Yeah, like after a while I did, I have to say.
Okay.
There was the, how many stages is it? Like 6 stages of grief, or what do you say?
Okay.
But I was in denial for quite a long time, I think, first. And then I started going into acceptance and all those things later on. But first it was just mourning after my, like, the mourning sounds tough, but I acted on it as it was someone almost passing from my life, because in a breakup, it's like, you're probably not going to see that person again ever, even though that was a very important person for you for many years. And then they're suddenly just gone. So it was a mourning period first, and then I got into the acceptance, and now realizing it was actually the best thing that could have happened. So,
yeah, I think that's an important message for people, that if they're going through a really hard time, because we all go through those big challenges in life, that at some point it's all going to make sense and be for your greater good. It's just getting through the storm.
I don't know who said it, but someone said you can only connect the dots looking backwards. And it's the same thing here. Like, it makes sense that I'm here right now, but if, when I was in the middle of it, I had absolute no idea what I was doing and how I would even get anywhere. So
yeah,
now it's easy to look back and see.
Yeah. Steve Jobs. Out. I think it was
That's
Steve
correct.
Jobs.
Yeah. You're right.
Said that. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I go back to that quote many times in my life. It's like, it will make
sense. It's a good one.
Yeah. At some point. So was it always a dream of yours to live in the forest? You're in the forest, right? Like, are there mountains?
Very much the forest. We have mountains, but it's more of a Swedish version of mountain. There's like more very big hills, if that makes sense. It's not these like dramatic peaks or anything, but they're quite high, but they're more rounded tops, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they're so not in the middle like of the Canadian forest. Mountains.
No. If you go more to the west, to Norway, then it's way more dramatic.
Okay.
But in the middle of the forest, yeah.
Okay. So was it always a dream of yours?
I didn't realize it was, but I kind of know now, again, connecting the dots. We've always had summer houses and stuff with my family growing up, being in the middle of nowhere. Like, we had to, you know, walk for several hours, take a boat somewhere, hike a bit, and then we were at the summer house. So we've always been like very secluded places, and I've always really loved that. Having no electricity, no compost, like just a compost toilet, very simple stuff. So I think I've been drawn to that my entire life, thanks to my dad, because he was the one that found the cabins. So yeah, I just ended up here thanks to that, I think. But I'd never really, I didn't grow up saying, oh, this is how I want to live. I bought this place from the beginning, actually, just as a summer house. And while I was living in the city, thinking, I can go here on the weekends and maybe on the holidays and stuff. And then I realized quite quickly that I'm way, way more happy here than I am in the city. So,
What do you think the big difference is for you between the city and out in the cabin that creates that happiness?
It's two things. It's the first that is something to do with my job. And the second one is the environment itself. The environment is just, there's no neighbors, there's no sound, there's just us, and that's it. We have sometimes, what do you call them? Trucks filled with lumber that goes
like
by
loggers.
And stuff. Yeah, loggers. Yeah, basically. But the road is still 500 meters away from here, so we barely hear it. But most of the time, we're just alone. And that's so comforting for my soul. I didn't really know I needed this much quietness until I moved out here, because I've always pictured myself as a extrovert, like being the social person and everything. But I realized quite quickly, I'm just so happy here alone. Now I have 2 dogs and my girlfriend as well, but I still see it that we are alone in this little area. So that was one big part, the environment. And the other part is the reason I went into YouTube and running my own business, is because I wanted to be in control of my own time. I hated being at a store or having a time slot every single day. Everything looked the same. Yeah, it was, for me, that was a nightmare. I know that works for a lot of people, but for me, that didn't work out at all. So I needed to be in control of my time and also what I do with my time.
I think that was a big thing. So for myself, I was living in a city for a really long time. And then
COVID kind of happened and I went out in the mountains for a while, lived in some tiny houses, and now I live on a kind of remote coast on the western coast of Canada that you can only get here by ferry. And what I didn't realize when I was in the city was how like jacked up my nervous system was.
Yeah.
Until I came out here and everything's so calm and peaceful and, you know, there's not a lot out here. And then when I go into the city, like Vancouver, I'm like, holy, like, it's like, whoa,
yeah.
Like sensory overload, system overload. And I think a lot of people are living in that nervous system hijack state and not even realizing until you leave it and you just kind of take a deep breath and you're like, oh, like it's so much more calming.
Yeah, and even and I remember the first time driving up here and parking the cars here in the weekends. It was, you know, I lived in Stockholm before and it's 6 hours up here. So I went here every single weekend. But as soon as I stepped in the car into Stockholm and then drove 6 hours, and just when I opened the door and smelled like real forest, like actual fresh air, I was like, ah, oh yeah, that's how it's supposed to smell. Not like fumes from cars and stores and people in general, actual real air.
Yeah, it's like really what we're supposed to be living in.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. So when did the decision come for you to move out to the cabin? Actually, can you explain the cabin for everybody listening first? Like how much land are you on? Your cabin size, it's all that?
The cabin in itself, now I'm going to go meters, the metric system, because that's what I know. but it's 70 square meters. So it's two floors. It's an old wooden cabin. It's 114 years old. No one has lived here permanently before. They've just had it as a summer house or as a hunting cabin or so on. So it's this room as you see right now. And then there's the upper floor as well. And to this little area that we own, it's 20,000 square meters. I have no idea how many. It's 2 hectares in Swedish terms or metric system. But I don't know if that translates to your system. But it's quite big.
Okay. I have no idea how many acres are in a hectare. Maybe 10.
Not me either. I should know by now. But my common field on YouTube usually helps me out with that. So.
Okay. I'll figure that out after our call. So then you have the main cabin. And then are there any other little cabins?
Yeah, we have small ones on the property as well. One sauna house that we just built and renovated this spring. And then we have 2 extra cabins that we call the random cabins, because everything that doesn't fit in this cabin, we throw out there. So there's a lot of basically a junk cabin, like everything that doesn't fit here has a place over there. And the long-term project is maybe to make one of those at least into a guest house or something. And then we're also building a A-frame on the property to have act as my office and studio, basically, because where I'm sitting now, as you can see, at least I'm taking up the whole living room, so the family can't do or work in here as well. And it's so easy when I have meetings like I do from time to time, or these interviews, it's so nice that I can just shut the door and just be in my own space without interrupting the rest of the family. So that's probably going to be done in a few months, but it's until then I'll sit in this little corner of the cabin.
It's pretty beautiful. Very beautiful.
It's okay.
Yeah. And then is the washroom separate? I think the washroom is always the part that trips people up when living a simple life.
Yeah, the washroom is, I wouldn't call it the washroom to start with. We have the sauna house, which act as like my cleaning area, I guess. We have a compost toilet in that little cabin, and then we have the sauna. And that's it. We don't have like a shower. We don't have I just step outside here on the lawn, and it's not much of a lawn right now. It's just a lot of snow, but I step outside, take a bucket of water, and then shovel it over my head.
That's nice.
That's the cleaning conditions we have right now. So we take the water from, we don't have running water to the cabin. We have a stream running from the mountain past the cabin. So we take the water from there and carry it inside, heat it up inside, and then go outside to take a shower.
Okay, beautiful. Do you drink that water as well?
Yeah, we do.
Do you test that water?
I tested it when we moved in, and that was completely fine. And we also have like a filtration system in the kitchen as well, a little tank. So we use that from time to time. I'm not as picky as my girlfriend. I know she's right in this. I know that. But I'm just a lazy version of us. So I just drink it straight from the stream. So.
Okay.
But it's
the
been.
reason I'm asking is I'm in the middle of purchasing a property with a creek running through. And I was like, well, I'll just drink the water from the creek. And then a friend brought up a good point about what if like a bear has died upstream or a beaver and there's like a carcass and then the water's contaminated. And I was like, oh, I've never thought of that.
Yeah, that is a possibility. Absolutely. But at the same time, yeah, I don't know. For me, it feels like almost a risk worth taking for some reason.
That kind of water, yeah.
Yeah. And I think I would almost, again, I've been sick here a few times before. It's not fun when you don't have a shower and you don't have a toilet and that you have go into flu season or something. That's not optimal, to say the least. But yeah, it's always a risk. Same thing with not having when I moved here, I didn't have a proper heating system either. And that was a bit of a risk as well because it was really, really, really cold in the beginning. So,
yeah. Okay. So when did the decision come for you to move from the city out there full time?
It was almost exactly 5 years ago, 2018, I think it was.
Okay. And so this was before COVID.
Yeah, it was. So I made a kind of a very timely decision, if I have to be honest, because I used to work in a store back then, and I had a 3-week paid vacation that summer of 2018. So I took my 3 weeks and I went to the cabin and I spent the 3 weeks here, and I just loved life and didn't want to go back at all. But when I went back to the store, it just, you know, as colleagues do, welcome me back and like, hi, it's nice to have you back. Hope your vacation was good. And then almost immediately, one of the guys said, have you thought about that it's actually 1 year now until you get your another paid vacation? And I was like, oh, okay, that sucks. I can't wait a year to be like properly happy again. So that was a big wake-up call for me. So that day, I decided to quit my job. I didn't quit my job that day, but I decided, okay, I need to do something right now. So I started collecting money, just saving up as much as I could. Worked in the store. They had several meetings with me, I remember, when they said like, oh, we need to sit down and think about your 5-year plan within the company. I was like, yeah, sure. Let's do that. And I was just making them believe that I was going to be continuing there. But then I handed in my resignation and then moved up here. And then I had like a part-time job as a, this is a bit hard to describe what it was, but it was like a event manager. We basically went with different companies to their conferences and events and guided them through the events. Everything from basic like the next lecture is in Hall A, that's over there, and the food is going to be there. It's like adult kindergarten, basically. Most people just shut off their brains when they go to conferences and they needed us to point them in the direction where they were going and when. So I did that job and I timely enough quit that job as well in the very end of 2019, because that was, you know, I traveled all over the world, everything from Iceland to Dubai to Spain. But I quit a job 2 months or something before COVID hits. I was quite lucky in that sense.
It's perfect timing.
Yeah. And then I went into YouTube and started investigating that as a job.
Okay. So when you first moved to the cabin, YouTube wasn't part of the plan.
Not at all. Which is a bit sad because I wished I had those first experiences filmed, because those were always the most hardcore things where I didn't have a heating system. I was here completely alone, no girlfriend, no dog. It was very, very, very simple. It was today, even though it's quite a simple cabin still, it's a luxury compared to what it was. So I started by just writing a blog and sharing some photos and sharing some stories and so on. And I've been a filmmaker for many, many years, but doing films for other companies and these events I talked about, we did movies for them as well. So I had the knowledge of making movies and building a story from before. So my starting point on YouTube was kind of I don't want to pat myself on the shoulder too much, but my starting point on YouTube was quite high as a quality level, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you knew what you were doing from the beginning.
Not YouTube-wise, not as a platform, but filming.
filming. Yeah. What were the hard lessons? Because I think there's a movement. There's kind of a movement of two groups of people right now. A lot are moving back to the woods, back to nature, simpler life. Homesteading's like a thing these days. And then there's the ones that are still on the hamster wheel doing the whole city living. What were the hard lessons in the beginning for this simple life?
It was to say goodbye to a lot of things that I was just used to. Having everything from having all the conveniences to from a bathroom and a kitchen to not having my family and friends around. I didn't know anyone up here when I moved here. So I was literally alone. I started to befriend a few neighbors, but neighbors is still, you know, I have to walk a half an hour to see my closest neighbor. Wow. So it's quite separate out here as well. But that's the thing I still struggle with today, that I miss my family a lot. But I still know that if I would move back closer to them, I would be more unhappy than I would be here without them, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Is there a strong community where you are, or it's pretty isolated?
I would say so. We kind of have to stick together because we're taking care of the road here together. You know, we're paying a fee to like a road fund, if you want to call it that. So the longer in on the road you're living, the more you're paying. And I'm living at the very end of it. So I'm paying the most every year. And that's for the bigger machines to help us plow the road and sand it and reconstruct it a bit during the year. Because it's with our cars to drive back and forth, with the loggers, the big trucks, it's a lot of damages. And now when it's just falling down snow like crazy, we need someone to help us out. Otherwise, we don't get out. My, what do you call it, driveway, I guess, is about 400 meters. Again, this can be hard with the metric system, but it's a few minutes walk, at least, I would say.
Yeah.
Let's see, 2 days ago, it came a lot of snow up to my knee, at least, which meant I was completely snowed in. My car was stuck, and I had to shovel snow for almost 8 hours just to get the car out to the main road. And then we got help from that road. So it's only the main road here that we get plowed. And then we have to do our own little driveways ourselves.
Okay. Where I just moved from in Canada, we would get crazy snowstorms, but it'd be like a couple a year where you're stuck and you had to shovel yourself out. But I guess the difference is I could just walk to the store.
That's quite convenient. Yeah. But we always have neighbors. You know, we call each other and talk how everything is going. And last year I got sick for a few weeks. And they, since my girlfriend wasn't here, she was in Denmark at the time. So I could call my neighbors and like, can you just buy some food for me? I can't get out at all. So they brought some food and just dropped them on my porch. And then I got some food for a week or something. So everyone is really helpful, but everyone is way older than we are as well. I think I'm 35 and the youngest one closest to us is 68 or something. Wow. So the community is quite old.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it because they've retired? They've moved up for retirement or they've kind of lived their whole life?
They have lived here their entire lives, basically. So it's really interesting to sit and just listen to them, talk about the stories, like everything from the small things of like, yeah, the road used to be up here in the forest before, and we went to school in that old building, and we did this and that. And yeah, it's really fascinating. If they were more talkative, I would easily do videos with them to kind of let them tell the story how it was to grow up here, you know, when there wasn't any internet, when there wasn't any luxuries that we have today. But they're quite, I don't want to say shy, but we as Swedish people are kind of known for being quite drawn back and not that social. So you really got to know a person if you're going to make them talk out loud and especially talk to camera, you have to be very close friends to them. So they have agreed to be on camera for a few scenes with me when we're helping out with the road and so on, but they would not talk at all. It's too scary.
Interesting. It's like learning from the elders.
Yeah, it is in some ways.
Almost like campfire stories, but I get that with older people. I get the sense that they just think all this technological stuff is a bunch of nonsense that they probably don't even want to.
Yeah, I'm trying to explain my job as a YouTuber to them and they're like, you do what exactly? And you share, okay, so you share that online and I have no idea how I'm earning money, even though I've explained it 14 times. It doesn't make sense in their brain.
So how did you meet your girlfriend?
We met through Instagram, actually, before I even blew up on YouTube, which was kind of lucky, because after I blew up, I just started not responding to people because it was just too much input. So she reached out while I was at a, what do you call that? I was going to a school for a year when I was living here part-time as organic farming, basically. That was the topic. And I shared stories on Instagram and some, posts and stuff. And she wrote me saying, I really look up to your lifestyle and I want to do the same one day. And we just started talking. And that was on December 2nd, 2019. And then we just talked for several weeks. And then she actually took the train all the way up here for our first date, which was kind of brave, you know, going 14 hours on a train and then going to a dude she's never met in the forest with no one else around. So
yeah, that is very brave.
Yeah, naive and brave and very romantic. So
yeah, you might hear stories where it goes the other way, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, but as I actually think it was kind of a comfort for her that I had a bit of a following on Instagram and my blog and so on. It was not a complete stranger on, say, Tinder or something like that. I had a bit of articles written about me in magazines, and so that was a safety point for her, I guess, as well.
Yeah, there was some integrity there. And
yeah, but it was a bit funny. She didn't tell her parents. I know she was 29 back then, so she didn't, you know, need to inform her parents. But both of us are quite close to our parents, and it was so funny that she lied to her mom and dad, saying that she was going to a yoga retreat in Sweden, and she's going to be away for a few days. And then when they found out a bit later that she's not at all at the yoga retreat, because she was here, our first date was for 4 days straight, and then she went back.
Interesting. And the 4 days went okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we're still together.
That's why you're still together. Yeah. And did she move out there not long after that?
Yeah, she moved in half a year later due to COVID as well, because our borders were just completely shut down. So we actually only met a few times before she moved in. We met like long periods when we met. She went up here a few times and I went down to Denmark for a few times, staying a couple of days. But they closed the border so quickly from time to time. So we had to take a decision on the day, almost like, okay, you need to come here now, or you need to come to me. Otherwise we're going to be off from each other for maybe months. So moving was also a practical part of even being able to see each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And does she do YouTube as well, like a content creator?
Yeah, exactly. So she does what I do, but she does it in a more, in another niche than I do. She's a sexologist and a hormone therapist. Okay. So she helps women with everything that surrounds women, basically. Yeah. It's a bit hard for me to describe it, but she's a very big nerd when it comes to that area and can sit, you know, days just nerding about what she finds interesting at the time. So she runs a woman circle for women to join as a group collective and educate each other and help each other and grow together. Beautiful. So she does that together with YouTube.
Okay. So a lot of virtual circles.
Yeah.
Bringing a lot of people together. So when you started YouTube, how long did it take before it took off?
For me, it went quite fast, but I think it goes back to what I said before, that my lowest level production-wise was quite high. And I was very lucky. I usually say to people, that's not a very popular opinion if you don't explain the context of it, but COVID was kind of the best thing that ever happened to me, career-wise, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Not health-wise and everything for everyone, of course, but because everyone was sitting at home dreaming about something else, not being stuck in their apartments and homes. And I was sharing this story of moving out to a cabin in the forest. So it spoke to a lot of people, I think. So I started sharing more frequently during the spring of 2020. And then I said to my girlfriend, Christine, during the summer, I was like, I really want to start uploading weekly just to see if I can make this work for real. Because none of us had a really good income at the time. We were barely scraping by. So I tried uploading weekly for the entire summer. And then in late August, I uploaded a video that just for some reason just exploded. So I had 700 subscribers at the time when I uploaded that video. And then 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, I had 70,000. So it just went,
wow.
Yeah, it went very, very, very fast. So I remember just sitting on the analytics page of the YouTube channel, just hitting refresh. And I was like, this can't be real. This has to be like bots or... It took me a while to actually believe it. I thought it was maybe my dad that has, you know, hired some really random bots to just start subscribing. But it was real people, it turns out.
What was the video about?
It was the simplest thing. It was called What It Takes to Live a Simple Life. So it was just me showing the daily life in the cabin during end of summer. Cutting the grass, taking a shower outside, walking the dogs, making some food. So it's very nothing, basically. It's nothing out of the ordinary. I'm very good, very happy with the thumbnail, though, like the picture of the video. That was very dreamy.
The thumbnail, that's like...
Yeah.
I have a friend who's an aspiring YouTuber, and he talks about the thumbnail all the time.
It's very important, yeah.
And did you have words on the thumbnail, or was it just a picture?
It was just a cabin in like backlit sunlight, and it's very, yeah, it looked very dreamy, I guess. It took me almost 4 hours to take that picture because I had the camera on another roof and then me sitting on the roof of the cabin. So I had to run back and forth to check how it looked. Okay. Like, okay, that looked good, but I need to sit in another position. Then run back to the camera, take another photo, run up, and then back and forth and back and forth. So it took a lot of time. So I'm happy that in that way it turned out. So that video is, funny enough, still one of my highest viewed video every month, still 3 years later. So,
wow. I think people don't understand how much time it actually takes to create things.
It's like very hard to explain.
Yeah. I made a reel on Instagram about making chocolate bark yesterday. And yeah. I was like, that was an hour of my life, but it's so like, it looks so simple, you know? And yeah. So you see these thumbnails on YouTube and you think, oh, somebody just created that so easily, but it took hours.
It's a lot of hours. Yeah. And it's something as simple as, let's see, I filmed our, when I was taking a sauna a few days ago. So we usually talk about, me and Christine, we talk about, are we going to have a cozy evening or are we going to film a cozy evening? Because those two doesn't go together. You can't have a cozy evening if you're filming it because you're switching angles. You can't have a real conversation. We have cozy evening, of course, off camera, but we can't have it at the same time as we're filming. So we have to decide, is this a work evening where we're going to film our dinner or are we actually just going to shut everything off and enjoy it? So when I was doing the sauna, that's the thing I do alone because Christine has a bit of a hard time with the heat. So I did it alone and decided to film it. And I started filming, I think it was 4 p.m. and I stopped filming, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 hours later. For me, everything from, you know, starting carrying the firewood to the sauna, starting the fire, carrying water to the water tank in the sauna, switching angles, getting up with the drone a bit so I can get some drone shots, switching camera angles in and outside of the cabin or the sauna. So a 4 hour recording session ended up being, I think, 90 seconds on the video or something.
Wow. So
it's a lot of hours just into a very, very short. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How much would you say of your guys' life that you spend off camera? Does that question make sense? Like,
yeah, it's two answers I get because everything that ends up on YouTube is just the best part of what we filmed, you know, 99%, but say 80% at least of what we film doesn't end out on YouTube because we put up a camera, hit record, do something, and then we take a snippet of that thing. Like I just posted, because we were out traveling, I just posted one video during September. I've filmed for several weeks, but it ended up in one video that I think ended up being 17 minutes long or something. So I wouldn't say that much is on camera, But the time it takes to produce the videos is most of my days, I would say, actually. It's everything from coming up with ideas, scripting them a bit, planning them out, talking them through, filming, realizing it was not a good idea, doing another loop, and then recording it again. So working hours, I would say, it's more than a full-time job, easily, because it's so many things we do at the same time. I even started a second YouTube channel now just a few weeks ago. So now it's even double in the YouTuber department. I have my own podcast. I have a newsletter. I'm developing my own course and trying to be a good boyfriend and a dog owner and renovating a cabin. So it's a bit more than full time, to say the least.
That's a lot happening. What's the second YouTube channel for?
It is for another creative expression. And also I'm doing it with one of my best friends, Andreas. So we are... it's still nature based, but we wanted to find something that hasn't really been done on YouTube before, because we've always wanted to do something together. He's always also a filmmaker. So we started looking through YouTube, like, okay, what hasn't been done? And it was very hard to find something that hasn't been done, because it's, you know, billions of videos at this point. So we found a niche that we really like watching, both of us, and that's silent hiking. It's basically people putting up a tripod and a camera and then walking by the camera in very beautiful areas, not speaking, just silent hiking with a bit of ambient music on it. So we took that niche and then we made our very own genre within that niche, if that makes sense. So we film these kind of hiking and experiences videos, but we do it from our perspective, our point of view. So we have a very big camera filming equipment that hangs from the head and films from the perspective of the chin, basically. So all the clips you see in our videos in that channel is from the person that is filming that perspective. That doesn't make sense. So you see two hands doing stuff, everything from hiking to when we cook food, we look down at the pan, stir the food around. When we're climbing, you see the hands moving and climbing up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it's on your chin and it's like looking out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So you're kind of seeing everything you're seeing.
Exactly. So we wanted, the basic idea was that we wanted to take people with us on the experience, not them just watching us walk by, but they can basically step into our shoes and do this experience with us. So that's the idea.
Very cool. I have to say, what I love about your channel is that it's slow and soft. And there's not any loud noises or like there's not a bunch of things jumping out at you. It's very simple. And it's something that doesn't, shock the nervous system. We'll say like it just feels very grounded and slow. And this other channel feels like that as well.
Exactly. And the other channel is even more so, I would say, because the shots are even more dragged out. The music is very ambient, and it's no talking at all. It's just us walking and experiences. It may sound a bit almost boring if you just pitch it like this, but
I guess I just wonder, like, it's funny that people watch other people doing that instead of going and doing it themselves. But
yeah, but I've actually heard some people that are watching the videos now have it as a almost as a background at home. So instead of having that fireplace on the TV, they have two people hiking instead with some very low basic music in the background and the nature sounds.
Yeah.
So a friend of Andreas, the guy that I'm doing the videos with, he watched the video in full first at home. And then when he was at work, he put the video on again, but in his headphones. So he worked with the video on repeats several hours, just listening to the nature sounds and the music together. So I think
that makes sense.
Yeah, calming for people in that way.
Calming, yeah. I have your channel on a lot when I'm like cooking and doing things. Yeah, because it's peaceful, easy listening, and sometimes watching while I'm doing things with my hands. So
yeah, but that makes sense. We try to do it as reflective of our everyday life as possible. And we really don't try to romanticize anything at all. So we try to be as honest as possible. Of course, we don't show everything because we still draw a line between private and personal. But we never tried to glorify this life that just move out to the forest and all your problems will go away. That's not the thing at all. I actually say most of the time that this is way harder than just having the 9-to-5 and the apartment, because there's so much stuff that you didn't even think was a problem before moving here. So,
yeah. Can you kind of dive into that a little bit about living a simple life, but it's actually really busy with a lot of things to do that you really didn't think you'd have to be doing?
I think that's my biggest struggle, almost on an everyday basis, trying to find the balance between work and everyday life, because I really love my job. I love creating these stories. I love filming. So my brain have a really hard time shutting off. I can be in the middle of a conversation with a friend or Christine or whoever, and then just like, oh, hang on, I just need to write this up. And then I'm somewhere else. So I need stuff to actually, bring my focus of something else. And that's in the sauna. There, my brain shuts off completely. I think of something else. And when I'm hiking, and especially when we're recording videos, because then you're at work, but it's shutting off from responsibilities, if that makes sense. And the third thing I do to relax is to play video games with my friends. We played together since we were 7 or 8 or something. So still a group of guys that we meet up a few times a week and just go online and play video games together, because that's what we grew up doing. And it's, for me, it's the best relaxation like kind of ever. And I think it's so funny for when people, like, they think it's always this black and white with everything. Like, oh, when you live a simple life, you can't be connected to everything. You can't do this and that. Why not? Like, I've been a gamer my entire life. I'm not going to quit playing video games, but I only do it now as a relaxation. I don't like need it as I did before when I was living in the city. When I was living in the city and playing video games, it was more of an escape, because I was happier there in compared to the apartment and my job. But now it's just a, what do you call it? Like a very calm setting for me to hang out with my friends and step into that world for a few hours a day or a few hours a week.
It's probably a point of connection too.
Yeah. Since we're not living so far away from everyone, it's just so nice to hang out with your childhood friends and talk shit, I guess.
Yeah. 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 What I've found interesting living a simpler life here on the coast, we get a lot of our food from farmers, like from the farm stands, or grow your own, or, you know, get meat from the ranches, all that kind of stuff, that I'm in the kitchen probably 5 hours a day. Yeah. But, like, I rendered tallow yesterday and I was like, yeah, oh my gosh, like, so my life is so much simpler, but I am never sitting down. Like, I'm constantly doing
stuff.
Was
it because you didn't, did you enjoy cooking before as well? Or is it more now because you have the proper ingredients, so to speak, now, or the time for it?
Maybe it's the time for it. But it's also, there's not a lot of restaurants here.
Mm. That's true.
You know, I lived far away from the nearest town for a while. So to drive back and forth all the time. So it was kind of, you know, if you wanted it, you made it yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly foraging and making medicine with tinctures and all that kind of stuff. So okay. I think at this point in my life, I don't want to be online as much. My whole world was online before. And so now I just do select things online, like the podcast and a few other things. But a lot of my life is outside and with my hands. And, so I'm constantly doing things, constantly on to the next thing. And so it's definitely simpler, but it's not, there's not a lot of downtime. No. I don't get bored often.
No, exactly. That was so funny. I remember I got so many questions of that in the beginning. Like, don't you get bored? Because when I didn't have Christine here, I didn't have the dogs. I was like, bored? There's no time for being bored. There's so much stuff that need to be done. Everything, you know, just heating, getting shower water. You know, I had to, in the winter, I have to go with an axe to the stream, cut up, open the pond so I can get some water from the ice or below the ice, carry the bucket inside, heat that for, you know, quite some time. I need to bring in firewood to heat the stove so I can heat the water up and then mix that in the water a bit and then go outside and take a shower. And that's, you know, an hour just there.
Yeah.
So everything takes a lot of time, but it's, for some reason, it makes more sense to me. I'm not in a rush in any way. Like, if something takes a bit of a longer time, yeah, then it takes a bit of a longer time. Then it can be frustrating sometimes, but it's never that we're running into these things that just, for some reason, just shows up. Like, it's no one that randomly drops by for a coffee or something, or I need to fix something very immediately. Every time we're going somewhere, it's usually quite planned. So I don't like need an emergency shower all of a sudden. So I always know, like, okay, we need to leave in 3 hours, and then I can start making the shower now. So I'm good on time. So it's never like a surprise moment in that way. So then I'm in no rush. Same way when I'm cooking food. Like, okay, I'm probably going to be hungry in like an hour. Let's go out and get some firewood, cut that up, start the fire a bit. And then the stove is actually warm when I want to start cooking.
Everything's more intentional.
Yeah. Very, and a bit more planned without you actually thinking about it, I guess.
Yeah. Coming back to the food and cooking and all of that, I feel like over the past couple of years, I've gotten really, I want to know where my food's coming from and what's in it.
Yeah.
And so the best way to do that is to make it yourself.
Yeah. And then you have full control.
Yeah. Yeah. As opposed to just eating restaurant food that's full of, you know, seed oils or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big part of it, I think.
Have you noticed any difference in like the way you're living and your health in general since you switched over to more of that food, or?
Yeah, I have. I feel a lot better. I have a lot more energy. I quit Starbucks recently.
Okay.
There is still a Starbucks on the coast I live on.
Yeah.
And so I just feel better. I feel better. I sleep better. I swim in the ocean most days, which is freezing.
I can imagine.
Yeah. You cold plunge as well though, don't you? I think I saw a video.
We have the pond just two, I can't say meters anymore, but a bit outside of the sauna, we have the pond where I usually cut a hole and dive into. So
yeah. Yeah. But I definitely have noticed a difference, and just even, you know, getting sunshine first thing in the morning, just, you know, I think for me, crisis happened with my health, and then I've done everything I can to get it back. And things like food are so, so important.
Yeah, we live in a society that is so disconnected from where we're getting our food and how food works and how it's affecting our bodies. Everybody's works differently, of course, but it's just so interesting to me that kids or youth in general have no idea when they go into a store, like, and they can point to just a meat package and they have no idea what that means. Or that's the luxury version if they're still eating meat and actual products. But if you look at shelves, even out here, there's just so much shit. Like, there's three aisles of just cereal. Like, and it's not one good product almost. So
it is crazy. I was telling a story about when I was growing up the other day, and we were in the story, I was eating Kraft dinner. And I'm like, so crazy that, do you have Kraft dinner there?
No, I don't know what that is.
It's like totally processed noodles with a cheese sauce that's pretty much plastic.
Okay.
And we ate that all the time growing up and never thought anything of it. It was just what you ate, you know, all those cereal aisles. That's just what you ate. And it's just so interesting and also really encouraging that a lot of people are really questioning all that and being like, I'm not feeding that shit to my kids.
But that's also a good benefit of social media, because we help each other getting awareness up, I would say, because it's so funny just comparing, like, when Americans, in general speaking, at least Americans goes into European shops and like, okay, your Fanta is actually yellow, like a, you know, an orange should be, not colored orange, because Fanta wants it to be orange. And there's so many banned substances in over here in Europe, at least, that are completely allowed in the US, at least.
Yeah, I think it's a bigger problem here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's very, very, very true. So when that video went viral, did you immediately start making money through YouTube then?
Yeah, I kind of panicked, if I had to be honest, because I went to center went so fast. YouTube didn't have a time or didn't have the time to monetize my channel, which means that you need 1,000 subscribers and then you need 4,000 watch hours. So people have watched your videos in total for 4,000 hours. And I didn't have that many videos and I didn't have, you know, that much of an audience. But it went to 1,000 subscribers within a few minutes when that video started going. So that goal was quickly ticked off. And then the 4,000 watch hours were also very quickly ticked off. But then there's a process of Google that owns YouTube. They send you out a physical letter with like a PIN code that you have to confirm online. And that took like, I don't know, 1.5 weeks. And I lost a lot of money those two first weeks, I know, because I was not approved yet. So the best thing to happen to a channel is not to go viral at all in the beginning, if I have to be honest. It's better to just do it slow and steady, because when that video took off, I had no idea what to do, because I just, yeah, I didn't know where to go. But I remember very, very clearly the first day I opened my YouTube studio, the app that you can see all the analytics in, and when I was approved for the first day. And I had, on only one day, I've earned, let's see, how much was it? Around $450 on just one day. I was like,
wow,
are you kidding me? That took me weeks to build up on my normal job as a freelance. So I was like, oh, okay, this might actually be very possible if I just continue. So of course that went up for a while with the viral video, and then it toned down again. And then I had to slowly build it up. So the way to do YouTube is very much a long game. Most people don't ever get a viral video. They can live off to have a lot of videos that culminating, is that how you say it? Culminating into, it totals into a lot of views over a month or two.
Okay. And so now do you make your whole income just from YouTube, or you have a platform, right? Nebula, can you speak to that?
Yeah, YouTube is the majority, absolutely, of my income. And then I have a Patreon for people that support there. I have YouTube memberships as well that people get benefits from, because I do live streams every third week or so on YouTube just to hang out with the community, and they can follow along in a project or just put up a camera and talk to them. So that's majority of my money. And then I have sponsors on some of the videos that I put out. I don't want to put the sponsor on every video because it doesn't really align with what I want to talk about. And then, you know, sponsors also has opinions and they can talk about what not to talk about and what I should talk about. And I don't like when people or companies are interfering. So I'm very, very, very picky of what kind of sponsors I do share on the channel. So I've had different meditations apps that I've used before. And other services like documentaries and stuff like that. And that makes sense to me to have sponsors like that. But I don't feel like, I don't know, going on and talking about something completely unrelated to the channel, even though those companies usually pay the most money. And it is hard, to be honest, when there is a big company waving like a bunch of money in front of your face, like, here, you can take this, just talk about our product for 90 seconds, and then you get paid. So you have to have a lot of integrity to just nope, I'm not going to do that. It's really hard, to be honest, because they have a lot of money to work with. And when you need it, especially like we do when we're renovating so much, and it's just money going away all the time, I feel like. So it's hard to say no to those, but I know I'm doing the right thing in the long term, because I can, I have a good gut feeling of what I want to work with and not to work with. And Nebula, like you talked about, I've been with for 2 years now. It's a creator-owned platform that I own together basically with other creators as a not an alternative to YouTube, but a platform there where they can support creators more directly, if that makes sense. But I'm leaving Nebula actually in this spring to do my own thing instead, because I feel Nebula is a good service, but it was too little of my niche on that platform as of this point, at least. It was more educational content, more productivity, more efficient high tempo videos, and those almost none of mine. And I wanted more of my people to come in there, and then it would make more sense for me to be there because they would get more creators on the same platform. But since it was still only me after 2 years, I decided to go my own way instead.
Okay, so you're creating your own platform then?
No, I'm going to start uploading more frequently to Patreon again instead. So I'm more control over the audience, so to speak.
Yeah, I didn't know that YouTube had a membership. So are you a member to certain creators?
The channel. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Not all channels. You have to enable it on the channel, and you have to be approved as well on thanks to YouTube. And then you get this kind of... you can decide whatever you want and design it yourself, like a logo next to the names that show up. So every time a member writes in my chat while I'm live, they have a bit of an extra highlighted name and their little symbol next to their name. Okay. So they get a bit of an extra attention in the chat. And I always prioritize them and their questions first because they're supporting with a few bucks every month.
Yeah. What would you say are the main questions that you get from subscribers?
That would be a lot of people asking about the wildlife. Is it dangerous to live where you're living and so on? And we have bears and we have lynx and wolves and so on, but they're so shy. So I've seen a bear once just outside the bedroom, actually. That was a bit freaky in the middle of the middle of the summer. I just woke up with our dog sitting in bed. Just like, this is really low rumbling. I was like, okay, that's not a sound she usually makes. Looks outside. I was like, ah, okay, that makes a lot of sense now. So we have seen a bear. I saw a moose today, or it's running across the lawn. I saw lynx a couple of summers ago, but there's nothing really that's, you know, is a threat. It can be a bit dangerous for the dogs because one of them is running loose most of the time. But lynx and wolf and bear, they take dogs if they get them. So,
is it grizzly bears that you have or black bears?
Brown bears is called here.
Oh, okay.
But I think brown bears is actually a umbrella name for grizzly bears and some other bears, but they're way more gentle than grizzly bears. That's not their very aggressive kind. And I've lived here for 5 years now.
Oh, okay. We have a lot of black bears, and they're just they're not very aggressive.
Oh, okay. That's good
either.
At least.
Yeah. I haven't come face to face with one. I've only ever seen them when I'm in a vehicle.
Okay, but that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Yeah. Do you have cougars?
Yeah. Not cougars. Lynx we have. Do you know what that is?
Yeah. Yeah. We have lynx as well.
Yeah.
I loved the episode on your podcast with the woman that lived on an island that had polar bears.
Yeah. That's a bit of a challenge for her. Yeah.
That they're so vicious, right? Like
it's super aggressive. They're still staying away from, you know, the most of the population, but if they need food, they have it right there. So I think the polar bears are the most aggressive to humans, bear wise I think, at least.
Okay. Yeah,
so the people living there on that island Svalbard, they're have to have a gun license and carry a rifle whenever they're outside because they can all of a sudden stumble upon the bear. So that's...
Wow.
That's scary for real.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's pretty real.
Yeah.
What do you think... just this question of what do you think we could all do that would create a big change in the world? And does it feel like you living this simpler life is creating a rippling effect or a change?
That's my hope, at least. And that's what we're trying to talk, me and Christine, about, like, what is the idea of the videos? What are we trying to do? And both me and her can sit sometimes and be a bit frustrated of the situation in the world. But we can only do our best. And if we can affect a few people to maybe move to a more calmer place and a happier life, then it's a win. But I think for me, I try to not tell people, but inspire people at least to stay off the things that make them unhappy. You know, like so many people start their day by watching the news, or because I have to stay up to date. Like, yeah, but why? Why do you need to know what's going on in the world constantly? I mean, if there's a big enough of a crisis, you will probably find out either way. And I think there's so many people that I talk to, friends and family, they're like, oh, have you seen this? Have you seen that? I was like, no, and I really don't need to, because it just puts me in a bad energy It may sound, I don't know, egocentric if I'm just focusing on my little bubble, but my belief is that the change I can make is from my own perspective. And if I can share a life that I am at least happier with now compared to living in the city, and if I can share that lifestyle with Christine and share that it's actually possible, that's mostly what we talk about, because a lot of people are asking, like, but how do you even do this? So we try to not educate people, but at least show how we did it. And maybe that can be, as you said, a ripple effect to others. So just do a bit better each day, everything from sharing the videos to not going into toxic places like news or even friends that are affecting you in a bad way. Josh, I usually talk about, I don't know who said this either, but you are the sum of the five people that you surround yourself with, or something like that. I'm paraphrasing, but because I really believe that if you have five really, really good, supportive, good friends, you're going to be a better person, especially if you have a bit of people around you that inspires you and pushes you a bit, not just letting you be, but actually push your buttons in a good way.
Yeah.
So I think challenge yourself to say, actually, to go out of that comfort zone. I usually challenge people to say, like, okay, actually sit down. If you paint your little picture of the dream life you would like to have, and you write that up for yourself, and then you ask the question to yourself, which is, what is the worst that could happen if you try this? Say, for instance, for me, when I moved to the cabin, if I moved out here, and it did, for some reason, it didn't work out. I didn't earn any money, maybe. I didn't get to know any new people. I felt a bit too lonely, maybe. The absolute worst thing that could happen at that point would be to move back to the city and get a job again. And then I would just end up where I was just before. So I have basically nothing to lose. It's scary, but if you have, you have to try at least. That's my view on it.
Yeah. Because even if you went back, you'd still have a ton of experiences and
exactly,
you'd have some great stories.
And I've tried. That's the most thing, I think. Like, at least without sitting at my, or laying at my deathbed and like, oh, I wished I'd tried the cabin life. That's the nightmare, to say that you have too many dreams that you didn't try.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, just the point that you made there with the news is, it's not normal for us to be inundated with all this information all the time. You know, back however many years ago, I guess the internet just came out when I was a kid, but we wouldn't have known of all the wars around the world. We wouldn't have known of every single crisis. And so I think, yes, it's good to be aware, but you can't be consumed by it all the time. Because then,
yeah, but it's also so much non-news, like this celebrity started doing this to that person. It's like, okay, this is not newsworthy. But the funny thing with our brain is that, like, if we see something on the news, our brain interprets it as it is actual important information, because we connect news anchors to, like, oh, that important person said something now that I should pay attention to, and then they make stuff that has no matter. It doesn't matter to anyone, basically. But it feels important to us because that specific important person tells us that story.
That's a really good point. Yeah. And I think about the chaos in the world, but then when you're like in the middle of the forest, there's nothing chaotic about your life in that moment.
Exactly. I talked to my sister about that just a few days ago. Like, she said something, because she's a bit of a news junkie herself. And she's like, oh, but how do you feel now when everything is just going to shit? I was like, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, of course I understand that there are a lot of things that are hard in life and difficult for people. But if you have that aspect of life, I don't think it's quite healthy for you if you just keep looking at negative things every day, like get bombarded with everything from people dying to starving or just shit news. So people get addicted to watching those things.
They do. Yeah. There's something in our human psyche that likes to connect on suffering. Not sure where it comes
from. For some reason. Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason. But I was thinking, you know, like, how am I contributing to the world by being in the kitchen all day? But it's that ripple effect where my daughter is seeing that and maybe eating better food, or will be inspired later on in her life to do the same thing and to question, and not just, you know, for myself, when I was kind of in that hamster wheel, I was just doing what everybody else did. It's like almost like we're sheep being herded in a specific way.
Yeah.
Whereas you start breaking free from that, you know, questioning.
And that's why I think what you need people to look up to. And it can be a, you know, a friend, a random YouTuber online. It could be whoever, but surround your surround yourself with people that actually do something that you strive for as well. And that could be, as you said, like standing in the kitchen, and you inspire mm-hmm. your family with that. I can inspire my sister maybe to watch less news and so on.
Yeah. And your YouTube channel hiking is going to inspire somebody to go hiking as well.
Yeah. That's our goal at least. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause then you're like, wow, this is amazing. So what's your true north? I know that's a question you ask.
Yeah. That's my, not motto, but I usually ask end that my podcast with that question as well. And what I like to describe it for, not some people don't really understand what I'm aiming for. But I would say like life purpose or North Star or True North or whatever you want to call it. For me, it's actually just spending time doing the things that makes me the happiest at the moment. And if that is, you know, just cutting firewood, then that's my true north for the week. And if it's just playing video games with my friends, then is that just to trying to embrace what makes me happy. And it can be the most silliest thing to the most more serious thing. It can be everything mm-hmm. from like, I want to really become even more self-sufficient when it comes to our little place here in the forest. That feels like a true north. If I would also like to be a better provider for the family when it comes to our finances, like so we can feel a bit calm when it comes to money, because that's a constant stress for us. Mm-hmm. Those kind of things are always like there. But as long as I'm staying happy in the everyday life, and I'm going to bed with mostly a smile on my face, at least not every day, of course, some days absolutely suck. But if the majority is positive, that's just a mm-hmm. plus, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. What is your most favorite thing about living in the cabin in the woods?
That's controlling my own time. I have mm-hmm. no one to answer to. It's just the best feeling in the world. Of course, sometimes I have sponsors and stuff, but it's so rarely. And I decide my own timelines and deadlines. So it's still up to me. But it's just the feeling of, since I moved here, I've almost never set an alarm clock. I don't have to be anywhere anytime. Mm. It's just, if I want to do something, I go do that, of course. And if I want to do a collaboration, I do that. But it's just the feeling of being so free that, like, no, I really don't feel like working today. And then I just take a 3-hour hike with the dogs or visit a friend or do something. And I don't have to stand in that store that I used to stand in. So that's my favorite thing, to be in control. But that also means that it's all responsibility is on me. So I can't just, you know, it may sound very romantic that I can just take a day off, but in reality, there's always this a bit of a bad conscience, even though I'm just, I don't know, cutting firewood. It's like, oh, I should film this now because this is content, and then I can get a bit of salary based on that. This always, as a content creator, I also talk a lot of my friends that are content creators as well. We usually talk about that everything is a possibility to be a video, basically. And it's always this nagging questions like, oh, I should make a video right now. Oh, I should make this right now. I should do that. So you're have a lot of freedom, but at the same time, you're putting yourself in like this grind mindset. But it's hard when you love what you do. I can sit, you know, easily from 8 in the morning to 10 in the evening, just spitting out ideas and editing a video, or because it genuinely makes me happy.
Yeah. It's like you're always on.
Yeah, I would say so. That's my most common feedback from my girlfriend, Christine, that like, are you ever off? And I was like, nope, not really.
Beautiful. Last question. What's been your biggest lesson?
Biggest lesson. That it's always going to be ups and downs. That even though I'm here now living, quote unquote, my dream life, it can still be periods where it's just the most annoying thing or most horrible thing I can think of to do. That's like a life is not always, even a happy and a good and a, yeah, my dream life is not always happy. It's the same thing with my relationship to Christine. It's not always perfect. Of course not. Mm-hmm. We usually joke about that we love each other to 95%, because it's always going to be this 5% that is really annoying with the other person. And the same thing with this lifestyle. I love most of it, but not everything. And that's life. And that's what I take from this. That like, it's okay that it's really sucky sometimes. And it's okay that it's really highs, because I don't think it sounds cheesy and cliche, but I wouldn't experience the peaks without the really deep valleys as well. So just knowing that even though you're in a valley right now, maybe there's always going to be a peak after. You just have to stick with it.
The lessons never stop on this planet.
Yeah. And that's a good thing. It's interesting to learn about yourself and others. So
yeah. Beautiful. Anything else on your heart that you want to share before we close?
No, not really. I would love some feedback on the new channel. That would be fun, because it's so brand new and it's a new experiment from our side. So
Can you, what are your channels? What are the names? Where can people find you?
For my channels, my YouTube channel and Instagram and TikTok is my name, Kalle Flodin. Maybe you'll have it in the text.
It'll be in the show notes.
In the description, so I don't have to spell it out. Yeah. And the second YouTube channel is called Pines and Creeks. So that will you find on YouTube for now, at least.
Even just you saying that made me smell the forest. So
yeah, that's perfect. That's a good start.
That's a good start. Well, thank you so much for this.
Thank you for having
conversation. It like took me into the woods for a little while and back to snowy Canada. So thank you.
Perfect. It was nice talking to you.
Yes, you too. Thank you so much for joining me for an episode of the Phoenix Rising podcast. Please like, share, download, subscribe if you enjoyed this episode, and I will see you next week for another episode on the Phoenix Rising podcast. Sending so much love.